Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 20, Falcon Down. Issue 1, Mutants Mobilize. On the cover, our heroes stand on a rooftop high above a city in conflict. Winds buffet them, but they stand strong against it all. On one side, far below them, the Bash is a military zone with barricades in the streets. On the other side, hordes of figures in striped eagle suits search the city for crime. But our heroes stand united against it all. What was once simply a glossy sticker now replaces the main header. The Protean City logo wreathed in flames. This is the conclusion of the Falcon Down event.
The first panel shows the outside of Peacoy. There is kind of a broad shot of it. It's pretty bright colors. Like, everything looks plain and happy, and it's a bright summery day. Elias is sitting on the stoop of Peacoy. He's this big, two-headed mutant guy, and he has an ice cream cone in one hand that he's eating, and his other hand, he's playing, like, Flappy Falcons and just sort of tapping it along and playing a little cell phone game. And one head turns to the other and goes, "I hate chocolate." And the other turns back and goes, "I don't think you get to decide this one." And then we just kind of get, like, a zoom back, and we get smaller and smaller voice bubbles as he's arguing with himself. And we see the rest of Protean City, and all around it, there are just these little dots of light from the hands and feet of striped eagles that are just perched in the air above, watching everything. And usually at the beginning of these comics, when we see big shots of Protean City, we get like some streaks of blue light or things like that that are like, you know, images of superheroes flying around, because Protean City is this bustling, wild place. And now it isn't. There's just stillness in the air. The Bash is cordoned off with barricades, and there's like some movement down there, but for the most part, the city looks like it's in some kind of lockdown. Frequency, I'm going to ask you something first. You were contacted. Well, first off, you have been in charge of the mutant resistance for a couple of weeks now.
Yes.
And Falcon has been aggressive.
Extremely aggressive.
Have you been pushing back or maintaining the Bash?
As a resistance or yes. Me individually? We have been mainly maintaining the Bash.
Okay, cool.
Keeping control of that.
Yeah.
We haven't really spread out into any other little neighborhoods or areas yet.
Okay. So when you received the interview request from Muticast, did you go personally or did you ask someone else to go for you? Obviously, it's a mutant podcast. It's one of the really big ones. Like, think like Pod Save America style, very like anti-establishment and things like that. And very political.
Frequency would go himself.
Okay.
To have control over that message, or to at least want to have control over that message.
Great. So we get after this big panel that shows just like kind of the darkened Protean City. We get first a panel of Frequency sitting at his computer. And on one side of the computer is this kind of bird fish looking man with four vertical, like four eyes vertically down his forehead. And he's like talking casually and going through something. He looks really laid back. And next to him is the director of Falcon, Virgil Lance. And so the three of you are in this, this, not Skype, of course, because that would be copyrighted. You're in this scope call on your computer to do this recording. So Tevan Gill, the host of Muticast, kind of leans in and goes, seeing the different results that are going on, seeing what is happening in the city, there's no safety for people. There's no additional things. I've got friends getting pulled over, being asked questions that they haven't done anything to bring about. And so now Falcon is, it's practically knocking on doors. Wouldn't you say so, Frequency?
Absolutely. The way that Falcon is treating this city right now is it's turning into a police state.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And Falcon has been in this city for quite a long time, having this kind of effect. And I just find myself asking, like, are we actually any safer today than we were 6 months ago? And there's a panel that shows the director, and he leans in, and he says, violent crime is down 6% in the last month. Robberies are down 3% in the last month. You may not approve of our methods, but our effects are difficult to argue against.
Well, okay, these crimes are down, but no one's allowed out of their house after 6 p.m. You've got lockdowns in neighborhoods. You've got people that are afraid to let their kids take public transportation. They're keeping their kids from going to school. They're slowing down the education. The infrastructure of the city is also coming to a stop.
The only neighborhoods in which we are preventing people from leaving their houses are the ones that have high rates of danger and crime. Places that we are making a difference in so that we can clean it up and then they'll be able to leave.
But we are one city, one people. You can't pick and choose neighborhoods to look over and control. And I'm sorry, but you just, it's something you can't do. And Falcon hasn't been terrible forever. And I've always said this, but the way that you're going isn't going to work for this city.
Go ahead, and you've are definitely connecting to a custom move here that we have. When you go on the Muticast to galvanize your base, roll plus superior.
Okay. I rolled a 4, but I have a plus 3, so it's a 7.
Okay, whoa. Very nice.
Phew.
So, on a hit, fans of the Muticast are listening and will be willing to show up when they are needed. On a 7 to 9, choose one. You paint a target on your back specifically, or you also activate a base against mutant kind.
I will paint a target on my back.
Sounds good. We get the panel back at the front of Peacoy, and clearly the artist doesn't understand how podcasts work because there's like little bubbles coming up. They're clearly that discussion from the cell phone. And so now with Protean City in lockdown, I'd like to just check in with our other three heroes here today. So, Puck, what are you up to? And so, yeah, so this cast is being streamed live, if that is something that you would be tuned into.
Yeah, John would be listening. I imagine that... So, first of all, I imagine this lockdown is largely not affecting John.
Yeah.
Because there are really two places that John spends most of his time, which is up in the Pinnacle community, which is full of rich people,
mm-hmm.
and nobody's bothering rich people.
No, yeah, weird how none of the mutants up there are being hassled.
They're not being hassled.
No.
And so when he's John, he's spending time up there, and when he's Puck, there's no force on this planet that's going to stop him from going anywhere he wants to go. So, and so he's probably spending a lot of his time actually, because John also doesn't really, he's not involved in this. He's not a mutant. This isn't his argument. He doesn't really like that there's a conflict going on.
Mm-hmm.
He would prefer that it stopped, but he doesn't really associate with either of the sides.
Okay.
Because he's not a mutant, and he thinks what they're doing is wrong, but he also thinks that what Falcon is doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what he's doing is spending a lot of time with Dr. Amari,
okay.
who he has set up in a lab that's attached to, like, there's a section of the Protean City University labs that are like older labs that are underground that have hidden tunnels. So we established this in the love letter. And he, so there are tunnels connected to the lighthouse. So he's spending a lot of time at the lighthouse, and he's spending a lot of time with Dr. Amari doing some science, trying to figure some stuff out, working through that.
Nice. Cool.
Specifically, she does research into temporal sciences.
Yeah.
And he is trying to find a way to help Winshear get back home, if there's a way to do that.
So I think we get a panel that shows the inside of the lab, and it shows, like, it shows Puck and Amari, and they're working. They've got maybe like a little projector thing that is showing like weird spinning loops that have something to do with time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of vague and nebulous, but there's all sorts of postings. It's definitely a rundown sort of place.
Like, it's like none of the lights all working. Some of them are flickering, and like there's maybe one or two LEDs over right where they're working.
Yeah, there's like a big poster that's talking about lab safety. Like, this isn't state of the art. This is doing work that is important, but not funded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Sage, what are you up to?
How long after the incident?
It's been 2 weeks.
2 weeks. I'm probably still at Peekoy. So Lunar Lens is still missing. So I've stepped in as sort of interim matron of the Protean Center for Outstanding Youth.
Yeah.
And I'm trying really hard to like live up. But the place is kind of a mess, and like the kids are getting upset. Like at first it was like, yay, mom's gone. We're going to be kind of assholes for a while. But now it's just sad. Everybody misses her. No one knows where she is. I've been trying to communicate with her via our usual means, and mm-hmm. I have not been able to. And inside I'm like panicking that she's never coming back, that something terrible happened to her. But I haven't heard, and I just have to trust that she's okay. And in the meantime, do what she's trained me to do.
Cool. All right, Kalino.
Kalino has not been available for the past couple of weeks. Since his power swap incident, he's just not been himself. He's kind of put himself off in his room. He doesn't even go out to his lab. He just kind of stays at home, like hangs out with Isaac, doesn't really talk to his parents. He's in a funk.
Okay.
He is on the team communication techs. And occasionally will answer, but it's like really brief, like okays, like just so that they're not so suspicious that he's this upset.
Okay. So we get each of these panels just kind of showing you spread around the city and showing how things have been kind of separate and weird. Because I think last time the whole group was together, things also were a little awkward with Kalino seeming to weigh power versus heroism for a moment as well. And so there is, I think, some of that like disconnect going on.
I feel like there's also maybe a sense that like every time we all come together, something terrible happens. And it's just happened enough that we're like, maybe I won't text Sokotoa because like, you know, the last time we all got together, terrible things happened. And like, it's probably that when terrible things happen, we all come together. But just on the off chance that it's the other way around.
Yeah. And I love that as a panel. That, like, you've got the phone out and we get the thought bubbles coming up. And so the next page shows the cast over and Frequency. Did you wear headphones during the cast? Do you need any recording equipment? Or are you just sending sound waves directly?
Sending sound waves directly, but I was wearing headphones.
Okay.
Because Ben always wears his headphones. Yeah.
Yeah, but you got that crisp, beautiful quality. It's going to sound amazing. We don't need to edit one of these tracks. It is, at that point, like it's getting a little bit later into the evening, and you know that this is a time when things start kind of going bad, right? It's been 2 weeks, and just about every night, there's been some kind of a Falcon raid somewhere. So how have you been kind of tracking and getting information on things going on?
So probably most of the information has been coming through sort of the actual raw information
yeah.
is agents in the field. There are people who report back and things like that.
Yeah.
But probably I have everything set up to run through Lambda, the supercomputer.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so that supercomputer is analyzing everything and probably even trying to predict based on what's happening and get a jump on what might be happening that evening,
nice.
where the most activity is going to be occurring.
Yeah. So it has a, let's say it's got a prediction then. It is showing like a light up in Brightside Bay that is a community that's likely to be hit tonight by Falcon, with them kind of coming in and you know, planting evidence or taking people in or things like that. And it may seem like, oh God, why has the police not done anything about this? And it's mostly a matter that just Falcon has way more resources than the police.
Yeah.
And so the police are frequently having to, like, they're just going along because that's what they have to do, kind of, to avoid, you know, war in the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just as a reminder, that's where Kalina lives.
You have a specific neighborhood that's, like, real close to Kalina, because you know where Kalina's house is, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, he would know.
Yeah. So it's actually quite close to Kalina's, because that's where his family lives. So yeah, so you've got a light up showing Falcon intending to do some kind of a raid or attack in Brightside Bay, probably, judging by statistical data from Lambda. So what's the plan?
Probably even just very first thing I'm doing is I'm going to actually try and get in touch with Kalina.
Okay.
And if there's been this sort of, I don't want to say a history, but a history of you not necessarily responding to texts or things like that, it's probably just going to be an outright phone call.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Believe it or not, you can do that on
this can do cell that? Phones.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we get a panel that shows Frequency calling somebody on his phone.
Hello?
Hey, Kalina, sorry, you may not recognize the number. It's Ben calling.
I recognize the voice. Okay. What's up? How are you?
I'm good. Stressed lately. A lot of stuff going on. I'm sure you can imagine.
Is everything okay?
Yeah. Everything's fine. I've just been really stressed lately. So you know this whole mutant thing that's going on.
I mean, only a little. I don't really keep up on the news lately.
Yeah. Stuff happened, and I'm sort of in charge of that now.
In charge of what? Like,
so, dude, hear me out. I'm not crazy about the idea, but if they don't have someone leading them, I don't know where this is going to go. And I need to make sure that it's going the right way. But if anything happens, I need to know that I have friends I can turn to.
Yeah, of course. But like, you're scaring me, dude. Like, what does that mean? Are you like, do you have like an army or something now?
We're not an army, but we're pushing back against Falcon. But anyway, look, we can talk about this in person. More importantly, something's going to happen tonight. I think something's going down in your neighborhood.
Nothing goes down in my neighborhood.
I don't know what it is. I don't have enough information from it yet, but something's going to happen tonight. I mean, if you're willing to help out, if we need you, that'd be great. But more importantly, I want to make sure you know so that you can be safe and your folks are safe.
I think you're provoking somebody.
That's a roll plus superior. Mm-hmm. So I rolled a 6 on the dice, so a 9.
Nice. Okay. So you can set that either if he doesn't do it, he marks a condition, or if he does do it, you add a team to the pool.
If you don't do it, you have to mark a condition.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll stand watch. Are you coming here tonight, or like,
if it looks like it's going to be something serious, I will absolutely be there. I need to make sure nothing happens to you.
Okay, I'll go.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks. Sorry, that's all I can tell you right now, but I got to run. I'll be in touch. I'll give you more information as soon as I can.
Yeah, please. You're freaking me out.
Just, I'm sorry, but stay calm. It should be fine.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hopefully I don't have to see you soon, but maybe sometime tomorrow.
All right, man. Sounds good.
And so then we see the call ending and Frequency. Where are you going now?
I don't want to wait until it fully goes off, but okay. I want to have more information as to what is going to be happening.
Oh, cool. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and assess the situation?
One's still going. So 9 on the dice, so a 12.
A 12. 12. Okay. You can ask two questions, and you'll take a +1 when acting on that information.
Okay. So the question is what here, but I'm going to say what there is in the greatest danger.
There is a... So it's getting to be like nighttime, and there is a bar there that that the owner of the bar is a mutant, and you know that there's a lot of people that go there that are mutants. And so that's probably, if they're going at night in the numbers that it sort of is suggesting with the area that it's suggesting, it's probably that. It would be too many people to be going into like a home.
Okay.
From the chatter.
Okay. I feel it's going to be the exact same answer. But what there is the biggest threat?
The biggest threat is that the bar itself is really close to a couple of apartment buildings. Like it actually has apartments above it. And it is in a very residential area. And if fighting breaks out, there are people that have mutations that are dangerous mutations. And so while, yes, the Eagle Corps coming in are a big threat, probably the bigger threat is if things go sideways. So like if the Eagle Corps comes in and captures a bunch of people without trouble, that's bad because people are being taken in illegally, but it isn't dangerous. If they push back the Eagle Corps without trouble, then that's, again, not really dangerous. If they are of relatively equal strengths, like the biggest threat is a drawn out fight.
Okay. That was kind of what I was expecting the answer to be. The biggest threat would be that big fight.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
So you're gathering that information and it's like the posts from Lambda start looking more and more like it's giving you an additional alert, like probability rising. And like you're starting to, you've got some tracking of where there are striped eagle suits and they're starting to move towards that area. So it seems pretty likely that they're headed there.
Okay. I think I've got a plan for the night.
Great.
I can't go by myself because that would just, I'm not that strong. But I don't want to send a team of mutants.
Okay.
Because they are all, the reason that we haven't expanded and really taken other parts of the city is because in my role, I'm holding us back.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to seem like the aggressive side taking over, kind of trying to get public opinion to see that Falcon is bad.
Nice.
No one else in the Resistance really knows this.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to hold that back. So I think it might be a good idea to try and get the team together. So I also need to kind of let Sage and John, Puck, whatever he wants to, whatever his preferred
whatever
title
he
is
right now.
I want to let them know.
Great. Basically, like the call goes out because I know you. We have our text message chain with our little like emojis for how serious it is. I think.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember that. And so you send the information, and I think Sage, we're going to show you next.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to keep it together at Pequoy, keep all the kids on schedule, get them to school. Right now, things are kind of business as usual to the best of my ability. And I keep trying to contact Lunar Lens to no avail.
Yeah. So we get a panel that shows you outside and there's some of the older kids are just like playing basketball before bed. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got a later curfew and everything like that. And like one of them just like shoots a little ball of fire and explodes the basketball. And another one shouts, "Hey, no powers." And then your phone goes off with the alert and we see at that same moment two striped eagle armors flying over Peacoy in the direction of Brightside Bay.
So we're going to get a panel of like a close up of Sage looking at her phone and the message from Ben explaining what's going on. And then you see the two striped eagles flying overhead, and then her face just like turns green. She's just like, shit, not again. So she goes inside now, protocol C. And like everybody goes inside, and she just locks the door and begins lockdown again, because at this point she has no idea. But the last time that they showed up, this went really poorly.
Yeah. And we see them go pat like over and past. They're not going to Peacoy. And there have been a couple of weeks that they have not come near Peacoy.
Right. And but, maybe without the text message, I wouldn't have panicked so hard.
Yeah.
But the combination of the two timing, plus the still being very shaken from the last encounter and Lunar Lens not being around, like, I'm hyper cautious. I'm taking no chances.
Great. And so you're heading in that. Are you on bike? How are you getting over there?
I'm going to go inside and get everything on lockdown. The kids and I have been working on drills because we now understand this is necessary.
Yeah.
So certain of the, a couple of the older kids are going to step up and take control. And I'm taking my motorcycle.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are you also bringing the suit or just the motorcycle?
I have taken aspects of the suit. So okay. I've taken maybe like a blaster and
like gauntlets.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Nice.
So I've made gauntlets with Ben, and they have like blasters on them, and they A, look badass, but B, actually make me feel a little bit more like a threat.
Yeah.
Like cool. The old threat I used to be.
Nice.
But I'm on my motorcycle with my badass pentagram helmet.
Oh yeah. Nice. Yeah. So yeah, so we get the shot of like the bike just like flying out of Peacoy and just like streaking after the gathering force up there.
Totally. And it has purple smoke because
nice, of course. Because you put like some herbs down there to kind of make
sure. Yeah,
it's a
black bike with purple smoke.
Amazing.
Just, you know.
So good. And John, you are in the lab with Amari.
Mm-hmm.
Are you heading in that same direction? What's that look like when you get the call?
So they would definitely be like going over some numbers or some chart or something like that. And he would get the text, and he kind of has some mixed feelings because he knows that if this is Ben texting about something, like, we haven't had a big like outside of the power swap ish incident.
Yeah.
We haven't had a big like group like team thing in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is probably Frequency calling him to help out on something with this mutant like revolution that he's doing.
Yeah.
And John doesn't super approve that, but he also sees the location and knows that that's where Kalino lives.
Yeah.
And so he's going to go. And so he'll just be like, Dr. Mari, I've got to go deal with a thing. But you should be safe down here. Just keep looking into, and he rattles off some science thing.
Yeah.
And I'll be back. I'll bring some food.
And she says, not Ty again. We've had Ty like four nights in a row.
It's just so convenient. I'll find somewhere else to stop on the way back. I'll try.
And she turns back to her work, and like there's just weird little fluctuations in the air all around her. And so how are you getting down there?
Oh, gosh.
Public transit up where you are is all functioning properly.
Yeah. So he's up by he's in the north of the city. So this is pretty far down.
All the way across the city.
I guess he's just going to, as John, like with not costumed, get on the subway line.
Okay.
And just like slow train it down. Because he doesn't really have a faster way of going.
Well, you've got some super speed, right?
Yeah, so once like the trains, once we get towards city center and where like maybe there's more like checkpoints and stuff.
Yeah.
He knows he's on a mutant,
yeah,
but he still kind of plays it safe.
Yeah.
He might leave the train and do his typical like get up on top of a building and then like sort of not Spider-Man, but run across the top of the buildings.
Yeah.
Hop his way down.
Great. Okay, so Kalino, you are going to be the person who sees what's going on first.
Can I do a scene first?
Absolutely.
So he's been MIA for like 2 weeks or so, just answering texts here and there. He's been in a pretty low place, and as such, he's changed one of his costumes that will help in this situation. I assume this is happening during nighttime. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fairly dark. So he has a Nightwing-esque kind of costume, as if the original costume is the Robin one. This is like the darker version of that. And he has, he essentially dunks Isaac in black paint as well. So it's mostly the same kind of costume. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit more of like design aspects to it.
Yeah.
So that people don't associate him. It's like, oh, well, it's just Sokotoa in black now, whatever.
Yeah.
But this is the first time he's going to go out in this costume. And if he needs to identify himself, he's identifying himself as DNE.
Is this a math joke?
DNE stands for does not exist. So if he's going around and like hiding and being kind of stealthy, nice. That's the point.
Your costume and everything is in your room, or you had to go to your lab?
No, it's in the room. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So we get the shot that shows you like getting into your brand new costume. First time the readers are seeing it. And you can see out your closed window, like there's curtains or something like that. Mm-hmm. And through the curtains, you can see some lights going by that are probably the like repulsors from some Striped Eagle armors. At this point, you will have seen that there are multiple people wearing Striped Eagle armors.
Okay.
I don't know if you've been in contact with Sage or not to know that there's the whole cloning thing going on.
Again, if she didn't tell me that, I wouldn't have known to ask such a question. Yeah. So unless somebody offered that information to me, I'm assuming that I'm ignorant.
Sage?
I don't think I would have told him.
Okay.
I think I would have assumed that Holly should tell him.
Okay. And she definitely hasn't. She's been very busy, and she has not.
Yeah, but that's her fault.
Yeah. All right, excellent. So you see the lights going by. It's clear something is going down. It's only the bar, like the location that you were told, is only about 3 blocks away from where you live. Mm-hmm. It's not late in the evening enough that your parents have gone to bed yet. Your mom works night shifts, doesn't she?
She works all over.
Okay.
So she's works as a hospital. She could work 24-hour shifts.
So your mom's working third shift tonight, so she's not around. But dad is downstairs. He's watching some TV. So you see these lights going off. You see the direction of things happening. What do you do?
So like I said, Kalino's been on his own.
Yeah.
His parents know that like he just needs some space.
Yeah.
As a result, his door is closed. Nobody's going to go in there because they're giving him some room.
Yeah.
So he's going to try to go out his window.
Cool.
And either like shimmy down. I don't know if there's, he lives in a house, so it's not like he'd have a fire escape, but like he's going to try to navigate his way down.
Okay, cool. This is something you've been doing. You are a superhero who gets out regularly often. I don't think that you I don't think you need to make a roll to get out.
I mean, he could just slide down the gutter like a fire pole.
Exactly. So we get a panel showing that. So you can see like where the Striped Eagle suits are going.
And I just so I'm holding Isaac in my hand and I'm like, oh boy, buddy, this doesn't look good. And I just kind of take off running.
Cool. I don't see any reason that the three of you wouldn't arrive at about the same time, with John probably arriving a little late. Because he's coming across the entire freaking city.
I'm actually relatively close to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. How exactly are you getting there? Are you driving? Are you bringing anybody?
I'm not bringing anyone with me.
Okay.
Before I leave, I kind of just take at least the information, not the raw data that went into it, but basically the analysis of everything that showed like tonight, here's the spot. And I'm kind of just like wiping that.
Okay.
So that no one else is seeing it.
Nice.
And then, oh, weird, quiet night.
Yeah.
Which is strange enough in itself, I'm not sending a team. I'm not bringing a team or anything. I called the team that I want.
Cool.
Aw.
So our next panel shows the three of you having gotten together, because you've got I assume trackers on your phones. There's some way to connect. And where are you? Are you on the street? Are you on a roof?
Somewhere where we can watch. Like, we're in surveillance mode right now, just looking over. So, you know, a dark alleyway across the street or a rooftop. I'm not sure what we would all prefer sense.
Let's put it in an alleyway.
Okay.
That way just have, because then we can have like the striped eagles above, and that's kind of a cool look.
Okay.
Somewhere where I can sit on something that isn't a chair.
Yes.
I don't think you're there yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yes, when I get there.
When you get there, you'll be able to sit on something that isn't a chair, I promise.
Sitting it's important. On a trash can.
Yeah.
Sitting on a street light.
So you can see, like, across the street is the bar. It's Jerry's. And you can see, like, there's a couple of very obvious mutants standing outside having a cigarette. And up above, like, you can see striped eagles sort of just forming a semicircle around it. And the mutants are kind of like looking up at it, and they look at each other and go back into the bar.
Sage is going to turn to Ben and be like, so did you call us here for a bar fight?
I mean, I really don't know what's going to happen. It's just this, you know, something's going to be coming down here tonight. And, you know, if Falcon comes in swinging, these people are going to defend themselves, and it's not going to look good for either side. And if I sent a team to take care of this, they're going to come in swinging, and it's not going to look good. So ideally, you know, I could really use your help. Basically, we need to keep things from getting out of hand.
It's fine. I mean, I'm glad you called. It's just, I don't totally understand what's going on. It's strange that they're here.
Are you trying to pierce his mask?
I don't know. I'm really truly just trying to find out like what his information was and how he knows what's going down but doesn't know all the info.
I think that would be piercing his mask.
That's fine. 7.
Plus mundane.
So I got a 6.
Got a 6. Okay. So as you're standing there kind of talking quietly, one of the striped eagles turns and just sort of turns on a light on her gauntlet and swings it past the alleyway and sees that there are 3 people down there. And the voice box kind of like rings out loudly and says, citizens, please return to your homes.
I'm going to flash my gauntlet thing I made and be like, hey, bitch, Falcon issued. We're allowed to be here.
I think you're rolling to provoke.
When am I not?
No matter the outcome of this roll, my hood is up as much as possible.
I got a 7. What is provoke?
It's superior.
I got an 8.
Okay, nice. For NPCs, on a 10 plus, they raise the bait and do what you want. On a 7 to 9, they can instead choose 1. They stumble, you take +1 forward against them. They err, you gain a critical opportunity. Or they overreact, you gain influence over them. So the striped eagle kind of pauses for a second and goes, Falcon called you in here? Why are you not in your suit? And she's stumbling. So you're going to take a +1 forward against him. So she drops down to the street and starts walking over. And like you can see, like she taps the side of her helmet a couple of times. And there's like a little, like the visor itself gets a little brighter, which in real life would not make it easier to see. But in comic book life, makes it much easier to see.
Of course.
And so she's coming towards you and like looking sort of confused at what's going on. She still wants you to leave, but she's unsure. She's stumbling.
I'm ground forces, obviously. Haven't you talked to Holly? She could tell you everything.
And at that, she like pauses for a moment and goes, come out here. Let me see your identification number.
I'm going to... So she's in an armor suit?
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot it with my gauntlet. I'm just going to shoot her.
Nice. Okay. Go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat.
Yeah, that makes sense. That is a 5 plus... That's a 6.
Even with the +1?
Oh, Oh no, that then it's a
from
seven.
The move. Okay,
then it's a seven.
Yeah, because you had that plus one against her. Right. Resist or avoid blows, take something, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
I'm going to create an opportunity for my allies.
Okay, so you will not resist her blows.
I am clear on that, yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, but I got a good team here.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So you shoot the blast, and she just immediately goes into like a defensive stance, and pulls down to the side, holds out her own hand, and shoots a blast as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get a panel that shows her getting just slammed in the face with a blast of energy.
Uh-huh.
And then Sage takes a hit to the side from the energy as well. Take a powerful blow.
That's a 10.
That's a 10?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, because there's no... Yeah. So, are you going to remove yourself from the situation, lose control of your powers or yourself in a terrible way, or two options from the 7 to 9 list?
I knew what I was doing and not defending myself.
Yeah.
So I knew I was going to get hit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lash out verbally and provoke a teammate and struggle past the pain and mark two conditions.
Cool.
And I'm going to mark angry.
Sage angry?
What? And, oh God, insecure, because like, she never would have been able to touch me before.
Yeah.
Like, this is irritating.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just yell, okay, guys, your turn. Do something, please.
Okay.
Do I actually, so we had a question about this. Do I need to roll to provoke now since
yes.
I'm, yes.
So okay. Who are you provoking?
To be honest, I'm going to go for Ben because sure. I don't know what Sokotoa's attachment to Striped Eagle
okay.
clones are. I'm going to provoke him to take a physical action against her. And that's not his strength at all.
Okay. Like to go in and start rumbling.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a 6.
Plus superior.
7.
7. All right. So you can choose one. You gain a team if he does it, or if he doesn't do it, he marks a condition.
Gain a team if he does it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Ben. Get in there. What kind of leader are you?
Whoa, harsh.
I came out of my mouth and then I felt bad.
Well done.
She's shifting your labels. I just want to check with the table here. I think it's danger and superior. I don't know which direction. Because she's trying to get him to be more dangerous while calling into question his leadership.
So I would think danger up
superior down.
Yes.
I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Do you accept or reject that?
So, narrative-wise, if I accept this, I will make that change.
Mm-hmm.
Do I then... I still have the option, no matter of this influence, whether I do that or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
My original plan was, if needed, to try and take over the suit and put the suit in lockdown.
Ooh, okay. That's cool.
But I don't think that's necessarily what she's trying to get me to do.
I think
she's trying to get me to get in there and fight.
I think if you're not in the street,
yeah.
you haven't been provoked. So, like, I think if you go out there and stand in the street doing your tech stuff, then yeah. you have managed it.
What I want is for
you
to
stay in
the
shadows.
Like, yeah.
You have to make yourself a target, I think.
I want mm-hmm. you to be visibly fighting. However that is that you fight, like, you can't be doing it from the sidelines. People need to see you fight.
Yeah.
But if you reject her influence...
Then we'll roll to reject influence.
So I think I am going to reject that.
Okay, cool. So go ahead and roll. You don't roll flat. You roll plus something, right?
I roll. So I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
man.
You do.
Whenever I reject others' influence, add plus 2 to their roll.
Nice.
Or to my roll. So I rolled an 8, so I got a 10.
Rejected nice. The hell out of that.
Something on a 10 plus, you choose 2. What two choices are you choosing to reject influence?
So first... I am going to mark potential by immediately acting to prove her wrong.
Nice.
By getting into the fight out in the street the way that you want.
Aw, yay.
And I'm going to shift one label up and one down. I'm going to lower my danger and raise my freak.
Cool.
So frequency, let's see that action. What does that panel look like?
So can I just ask? So she said, what are you doing? Get out there. Be a leader. Real leaders get in the middle of things. Why aren't you doing that? Which is why she was going to shift up your danger and down your superior.
Correct.
And you rejected that
yes.
and said no.
I'm not saying I'm going to act not to show that I can still lead from the shadows, but I'm going to, I'm rejecting the fact that I don't need to physically get in there.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, tussle with someone.
So,
okay. So you're not going to go into immediate fighting right away mode.
Not physical fighting.
Yeah.
I'm going to use my powers or attempt to use my powers.
Okay, to like mitigate the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So this is a little weird. I'm going to do what she wants me to do, not in the way that she wants me to do it.
I buy that.
Great.
What I am going to do is I'm going to do what she wanted me to. And that's, I believe it was basically get out of the alley into the street.
Yeah.
And take care of that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it by trying to take control of the armor and lock it down. She's in this defensive position.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and lock it into defensive position.
Great.
I've done things like this before with Centurion.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working with her on developing, like, using those gauntlets and stuff that we've used. So I know the structure and everything.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Ooh.
It's a nine
on the dice. Plus 2, 11.
Sweet.
Great.
I'm not sure yet if I'm acting on any of these, but earlier when I assessed the situation, I have a plus 1 when acting on the answers.
Yes. I don't think that it does directly yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to be needlessly saving it when it should have been used at one point. So that is in 11.
Yeah. So we get a panel that shows Frequency walking out from the shadows. And like, is your hood up or are you there?
The hood's still up.
Okay. And just the striped eagle on the ground, just freezing. And as Frequency like steps further out into the light.
May I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Has anybody yet told me that there's multiple striped eagles?
You have seen that there's multiple striped eagle armors.
Okay.
You don't know yet that they are the same person underneath the helmet.
Okay.
So, like, I think the fair assumption would be that either they are robots or that they are other people in the armor.
Do these armors look different than the Striped Eagle we know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. They were, like, plain silver matte.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've been repainted into Falcon colors.
Okay.
What are Falcon colors? We've never established
black,
this.
Blue, and silver.
Black, blue, and silver?
Yeah.
Cool. So now the Falcon colors, like, they're all painted with the Falcon paint, with the black, blue, and silver, with the exception of Holly, who, like, Holly Prime, mm-hmm. who has still been going on TV and doing appearances and everything like that.
As Striped Eagle.
As Striped Eagle,
okay.
With the red, white, and blue.
So this is, like, obvious. So to you and me, who don't know, this is obviously not her.
Yeah.
Or at least is a different set of armor she's wearing. Which would be weird for her.
That would be really weird.
Yeah.
But we don't know if they're robots or if they're whatever. Yeah. Other person wearing a different set of armor.
She has publicly been out in her regular armor
with
other robot, like with other people in Falcon armor.
So I would know that because John is paying attention.
Yeah.
Even if Sokotoa isn't.
John, as you were going down through kind of center city, mm-hmm. that subway line takes a little bit of a turn a little bit into the east side. Just because that's the path down towards Brightside Bay, and you've hit one of the blockades.
Mm.
And so, like, there are Falcon operatives, and there's a couple of Striped Eagle suits that are down in the subway, and the subway train has to stop, and they're kind of just getting people out, and some people are being let to walk right out of the subway station, but there's also, like, some curtains set up where the people are being taken to the side, and...
Mm-hmm.
To be talked to and everything like that. And what do you do?
So if I wanted to continue south,
you'll have to leave the subway. The subway's going no further.
Okay. Do I have to go through a checkpoint?
Yes, unless you've got a way around it. I mean, admittedly, like the subway isn't going any further. There's mm-hmm. still tunnels going further.
Mm. But if I get through this checkpoint,
yeah.
Then I can just move freely again.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go through the checkpoint.
Okay. Yeah, they, like, you know, they ask for your ID.
Hmm.
Oh, I wasn't thinking that would be a difficult thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I guess I give
them
their...
Do you want to play it through?
No, I'll give them my ID.
Okay.
There's no reason for me to be obstinate at this point.
Yeah. And, like, you know, there's a ton of people. So, like, they look at it, they look at you, they hand it back. And then from there, are you you're rooftop jumping?
Yeah. He's going to find a dark spot.
Yeah.
Put on the outfit.
Yeah.
And then get up on the roof.
And, like, you know, there's a couple panels that show you running, jumping from roof to roof, going very quickly and very, like, you know, dark and hidden in the night. And then in the background of one of the panels, we see a fiery explosion.
Oh, God. Background is in, like, behind me or
like behind you in the, like, in the east side, north of where everybody else is.
Okay.
And there's villainous laughter cackling out. And a second laugh.
I think that he would, he might look at his phone real quick, but he was not super jazzed about going into participating in some sort of mutant militia at action anyway. So he's going to go, especially if there's an explosion already, he's going to go take a look.
Okay. So the panel shows, so we've had like four panels showing Puck running and jumping on roofs and then an explosion. And then the same four panels just flipped as he goes back a little bit. And we have, so there's a traffic circle around one of, around like a big government building that just is like, you know, it's like a post office place. It's like, you know, just some offices and stuff like that. And standing in front of it are three figures.
The third one didn't laugh?
The third one didn't laugh, no.
Okay.
Two of them are very recognizable to you. In part because they're letting out loud cackling laughs and they've got their names written in big comic book letters as they're introducing themselves, because of course they introduce themselves. The third is someone you haven't seen before.
Okay.
So holding hands and in glamorous black and red fancy clothing are Mr. Derecho and Mrs. Scarda, two villains you've fought before known as the Hands of Evil. He is able to shoot like electric, and so like, there's a big like Protean City will rue the day it attempted to illegalize the Hands of Evil, and that like they're in these big elaborate Silver Age outfits. He's shooting electricity into the air, and she's kind of just like crushing a car from a bit away with her magic. And standing behind them is this amorphous black, like dark, really, really dark blue shadowy shape that is identified as Gloom, who is another villain that has not worked with them before, but they are just, they're standing probably like 9.5 feet tall, but like very like svelte and lean and kind of the same like lean, graceful look of the hand. And they are just, The building behind them is, the windows are blown out, there's fire coming out of it, and they're basically just having done a sort of terrorist attack against Protean City government offices.
So John would stop on a rooftop, kind of crouched, or sit down on the rooftop with his legs hanging over the edge, and kind of watch these people and just sort of see what they're doing, see if anyone else responds, to see if they're just like laughing and monologuing into the darkness.
I mean, it's not late enough yet. There's no people on the street.
Okay.
And so there's people like kind of panicking and quickly trying to get away. There's probably no one in the offices. And Mrs. Scarda leans against Mr. Derecho and it just like kind of like pets his arm and goes, are we going to burn it all down? Just take all of it? And he goes, oh, yes, of course, sweetness. Gloom turns and just puts their hands on the side of the building. And the stone of the building starts to just like melt and break down.
Okay. John's going to pull out his phone.
Okay.
And shoot off a quick text to the group chat that just says, going to be late.
Nice.
And I would like to charge my
burn.
Charge my burn.
Okay. Go ahead and roll plus conditions marked.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11
Nice. All right. So you hold a bunch of burn.
So John, sort of sitting on this building top, with the mask on, kind of like puts his hands together and starts focusing on. Actually, there's probably a cool panel where he like grabs the side of the building and kind of like crushes the rock or the concrete a little bit and starts to like summon energy around him. And just like to point out again that this is not the like beautiful, elegant wielding of magic that Sage once did. This is like he's ripping energy out of the reality around this building.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's in this like black, heat wiggly, effect around him. And he's gonna jump down off the building and into the light and say, are we gonna do this again?
So, the two hands, they turn to you, and while gloom is still just starting to rip through the building, they're starting to like almost do like a swimming motion through it,
mm-hmm.
But just like dragging down stone, and it's starting to crumble. Mr. Derecho's eyes narrow, and he goes, "You, I remember you, you insolent little child. None of your friends here this time."
And John's gonna put his hands on his hips and just kind of like strike a Peter Pan pose and just be like, I don't need my friends. You picked a bad night to mess around in this city.
And we get a panel that just shows the two of them starting to just charge towards you. There's just sort of like some rippling around Mr. Derecho's hand, and he holds it up and shoots a bolt of electricity towards you.
Can I counter that with one of my flares? Flares?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna do a reality storm.
Okay.
At him, which is a...
You channel a destructive burst with your power. Spend one burn to directly engage a threat using your powers, rolling plus freak instead of plus danger. If you do, you will cause unwanted collateral damage unless you spend another burn.
So I'm going to spend one burn to shoot terrible dark magic at them.
Nice. Let's see that roll.
So that's what?
10?
10 plus...
Is the mask a 6?
Yes.
Yeah, 10.
10 plus 2.
Nice. All right. So you get to choose two options from directly engage a threat.
I'm going to resist or avoid their blows. And I'm going to impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
So we get a panel that shows the electricity arcing towards Puck. And then Puck's hands just going forward and just darkness swelling forward.
The electricity probably arcs around him.
Nice. Yeah. So it blasts around him and just like hits against the building behind. And
because I didn't mark the second burn.
Exactly. And then this ripping reality changing just pulls through the ground. And there's rubble and concrete just being flicked aside. And this sort of just tube of destruction hurls towards them. And are you targeting both of them or just one of them?
Both of them.
Both of them. Okay. So there's like, they have been holding hands while they run.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have a second that they just push off of each other. But that like, it isn't nearly enough for them to avoid getting just slapped by this thing. They're both sent just spinning on the ground and flicking out of the way. And like Mr. Derecho's head slams against a car. And Mrs. Scarda like manages to get some magical energy underneath her. So she kind of like floats to a rolling stop instead of being smashed to a rolling stop. And as that dark energy ripples forward, Gloom turns around and just sort of dives forward, and their form changes.
Mm-hmm.
They were this like big, tall, gangly, lean, alien looking thing, but as they turn and run, they look much more human. They're just a human that is this dark blue, like this dark blue skin tone, and they don't have like clothes, so they're just kind of smoothed human shape, and they dive forward into the destruction, and it turns like the destruction kind of pauses in the air, and there's just like this spinning wheel of reality storming, and then it begins to roll back towards Puck.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at _Starkey_. Penance is played by me, Elsbeth Dedman, and I can be found on Twitter at TheCatOnTheWall. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.